This is the GOAT Level Podcast with your host, the GOAT, the legend, the hero, Van Pugh.
You gotta love the NBA plan. Half of the games, straight trash. The other two games, instant classic. You gotta love it. Lakers Pelicans, I swear, I thought it was over. When the Lakers went up like 20, I was like, there's no way. They blown them out again. Because remember, they literally played 2 days earlier and the Lakers won by double digits. I think it was more than 20. They killed them. Remember, they blew them out in the play-in as well. Not the play-in, but the in-season tournament playoffs as well. So, they've had their number lately. What a game that was, though. Pelicans battled back. Zion was unstoppable. It's a shame he got hurt again. I should have known something was going to happen when one account, I think it was Bleacher Report, somebody tweeted that Zion played like 70-something games this season. Which is great for him, considered all the injuries and all the time he's missed. And then for that to happen in a play-in, oh, man. And they still could have won. Jose Alvarado hit some big shots. McCollum hit some big shots. They were in it. They gave up that dagger three to D'Angelo Russell. And then they couldn't keep Anthony Davis off the boards. And he drained every free throw. Just a tough way to go out. Really good comeback. It was really entertaining. But it just wasn't enough. Will they beat the Kings? They're undefeated against the Kings this season. Will they beat the Kings tomorrow? I don't know. If the Kings play like they did, which I didn't even know that they're missing Kevin Huerter and Malik Monk. I had no clue. But if they play like they did against the Warriors, the Pelicans in trouble. You know what? The Kings sent the Warriors to the upper room. They got cooked. I really need to go see what Draymond's talking about on this podcast. He has a good show. And I love the Klay Thompson episode. I just want to hear his thoughts on the Kings lost. The Kings got a little bit of revenge, but it doesn't matter. You still got to win another game to get in the playoffs. That was impressive. Keegan Murray showed why the Kings picked them so high. He had 32 points. He killed it. He totally outplayed Klay Thompson and the other role players on the Warriors. Klay Thompson had 0 points. Man. Matt Stafford's wife got some guns. But anyway, we must stay focused. The Kings, that was impressive what they did to the Warriors. I just wish they would have did that in Game 7 last season. But then again, we wouldn't have got the Steph Curry masterclass. You got to take what you can get. But you know, the Kings move on. Will they beat the Pelicans? Even without Zion, my gut tells me to go with the Kings. But since it's been a bad matchup for them all season, I don't know. History tells me go with the Pelicans. But eye test tells me, especially without Zion, go with the Kings. It's a toss-up. You know what? I'm going to edge the Kings because I just know what I saw. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Pelicans beat them again. And then Pelicans, Thunder. Ooh, boy. Oh, my God. Keep sleeping on the Thunder. They're the number one seed. Keep sleeping on them. They won all these games for a reason. This is a pretty balanced team. This is a pretty good basketball team. But I think they're getting disrespected as a number one seed, mainly because of the inexperience. I think that's the number one thing. But these guys can play some ball. See, when Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, it might be Shai. I'm going to call him Shai. Okay. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander raises Shai. Man, all right. Final answer, Shai. When Shai Gilgeous-Alexander got first team all NBA last year, that was the warning shot. That was the shot to tell you these guys are coming. Y'all didn't take it seriously because they didn't make it out of the play-in. Oh, and they won a play-in game. See, y'all didn't take it seriously. Y'all in trouble now. See, when all that stuff happened, the young guys that were on the team got better fast. And then Chet Holmgren, they didn't have Chet Holmgren all of last season. They had Chet Holmgren pretty much, I think he played all 82 games. He did. That is miraculous. To not play a whole season, then to come back and play all 82, you know what? Props to you, Chet Holmgren. The sky's the limit. And he played pretty well this season. He's in the Rookie of the Year talks. Don't sleep on the Thunder now. I think they're going to go far. They've played well all season. They played well against the Nuggets. I got them losing to the Nuggets just because I think it's still their time. But the Thunder are at least going to conference finals. Y'all going to see. I think Pelicans, Kings, doesn't matter. The Thunder are going to beat them. And then after that, you get whoever comes out of that Clippers-Mavericks dogfight. I don't know. You got PG, Kawhi, Westbrook, and James Harden versus Kyrie and Luka. Like, I don't know. That just spells seven-game series. I think I got the Mavs in six, but I think it's gonna go seven. And boy, that should be an exciting series. I think the Clippers beat the Mavericks last time they met in the playoffs, but I think the Mavs will get them. Thunder Mavs, oh boy. That would be dope. But back to the play-in. The East play-in happened, at least half of it, right? The Sixers and the Heat turned out to be... I didn't expect to be watching that game. I thought I was going to be on the road. But I end up watching the game, and I was pleasantly surprised. It was a really good game. The Sixers jumped out in front. Then the Heat had this crazy, like, 17-2 run or something. It was like 13 unanswered at one point. They was killing it. Tyler Hero looked like he couldn't miss. Jimmy Butler, I think he had 4 steals at halftime. Like, he was killing it. We saw a classic Jimmy Butler, and then he got hurt. And he just powered through it, props to him, but he just wasn't the same. Bam Adebayo did all right. These guys were hitting their shots, but something happened. It was that second quarter. That second quarter, the Heat just pounced on them. I think they should have went up 20. They really could have, but they kind of left the door open. And then that led to the third quarter. That's when Buddy and Nicholas Batum took over. That was classic Buddy. That was like Buddy from OU type Buddy. Like, he wasn't just shooting threes. Like, he was going to the rim. He was Euro-stepping on the fast break. I mean, that's what I saw at Oklahoma. Like, I loved it. I love how aggressive he was in that second half for the Sixers. It really gave them a pickup. Not sure what Maxey was doing. Embiid, he always has a tough matchup against Miami. I finally figured it out. Or I guess a lot of people knew this already. I see why Miami is so good against centers. They run a lot of zone and they play it very well. And so they did do a good job of trapping centers. I kind of thought that was it. But then to see it, I was like, oh, that's why they do so well against centers, even though they're undersized. They run a zone and they do a good job of trapping those centers in the paint. But nevertheless, Embiid still made some clutch plays, especially that assist to Oubre, who dunked on Tamati and got the and one. Man, listen, but this was the Nicholas Batum game. I think he had 20. Yeah. He killed it. Like, it seemed like every time he let the ball go, it went in. I think he made about 6 threes. That's why you got him there. Buddy Hill, what he did, that's why you got him there. And they came back and they held off the Heat. Tyler Hero hit a bunch of clutch shots at the end, but it wasn't enough. It's good to see him back. Unfortunately, he's going to have to be him. Well, that's not unfortunate for him. Maybe that's a good thing so he can remind us how good he really is. He's going to have to be him because Jimmy Butler's hurt. Jimmy Butler's, you might as well say he's out several weeks. You might as well say he's done. He's not coming back unless the Heat are back in the finals, and I doubt it. They'll probably beat Chicago. But after that, they are not beating the Celtics this time. Like, you got them last year. You almost got them the year before. This year, you ain't beating them. Not when they added Porzingis and Jrue Holiday. It's over. That is a sweep. Okay, maybe Miami might get one game. But this is at least a four game. Like, this might be a four game, five game series. Like, they're going to get killed if they beat the Bulls. And that's if they beat the Bulls. Because Coby White, I see what the hype is about. I see why people want him to win the most improved. I think he had 32 against the Hawks. Trae Young was back. DeJounte was playing. Everyone was healthy. Except Okongwu, right? Big O. But he's like a role player. Oh, Jalen Johnson was hurt. That's actually big because Jalen Johnson took a huge leap and he was in the most improved player conversation. But man, this is a sad day for the Ice Tray Gang.
It's a complete crap.
I'm sick. They got blown out. Trae Young had 17 and 8, but he had 6 turnovers.
Come on, man.
Man, he tried. He tried to play with the little, I don't know if it was a broken hand. Something happened with his hand. And he's still trying to recover from it. And he just had a rough time out there. And then to add to that, the Bulls are a tough matchup for them, especially for Trae Young. I definitely saw that on FanDuel. They were fourth against guards. Okay, fourth against point guards. And I don't know who mentioned this, but it was Stephen A. Smith. He mentioned that Trae Young averaged 20 points, 29% from three against the Bulls. Yeah, not good. Not good. So, a tough matchup, and he's hurt. Yeah, that's a recipe for disaster. And then, not to mention, they gave up 41 points in the first quarter. And they gave up 39 in the third. The Bulls had 111 points after three quarters.
Damn!
It's Ice Trader Gang, still. Despite that poor showing. I mean, Coby White did whatever he wanted. DeRozan did whatever he wanted. Vucevic had almost 50 fantasy points. This guy named, what is his name? Something Green. Like, where is it, man? Green. No, that's not it. That's, man, that's Green in baseball. Like, that's not him. Oh, boy. What is this guy's name? I'm crying, bro. This guy came out of the blue. This guy came out of the blue, and he's jamming, and he's making all these threes against the Hawks. I had never heard of him until, like, yesterday when I was making lineups. Jay Green. Like, oh, what is his name? Is it Jared Green? It's something. Bro, you guys would be kidding me. Huh, Sidney Green. Huh, that's not his name. Javonte Green. That's it. Bruh, he was killing them. And if he can play like that against the Heat, the Bulls are going to win. They still will lose in 5, maybe 6 against the Celtics. It's over. It's going to look just like 1985-86 or 86-87 with a young Jordan and whoever the hell else they had. Like Charles Oakley? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. It's going to be just like that if the Bulls make it to the first round against the Celtics.
Facts.
The playoffs are coming. They're heating up. I got my ticket for Knicks and Sixers. Game 5 at the Garden. I know the Sixers can at least win one game to make this Game 5 possible. They're going to win at least one game. They got to. They're too talented. And everyone's playing now. Everyone's playing. I think, yeah, except DeAnthony Melton. Once again, a role player that's not really one of the main guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, they could do without him. It'd be nice if they had him, but they could do without him. Especially the way Buddy and Nicholas Batum is playing. They keep playing like that. You definitely don't need DeAnthony Melton. But they're going to win at least one game. So that means I get to go to the Garden and watch Game 5. That's great. I know I had to finance this, but come on. I got to be in the building. I got to see this playoff game. It's funny because the prices to watch this thing in Philly is cheaper. And it's closer to D.C. But, you know, I already got stuff set up in New York City for those 2 days. So I plan to be there. And I can't wait. Anyway, on to the next. What do we got now? The Caps might not be capped.
What?
Listen, when they lost to the Penguins in front of my kickball crush, and then on top of that, you lost to the Penguins at home.
Come on, man.
That's a no-no. They're the biggest rivals. I can't stand them. This goes back all the way to high school. We lose to them at home. Playoffs on the line. They're right there with us in the standings. I thought all hope was lost, especially when these guys, man, ugh. These guys lost 7 of 9. I can't reiterate that enough. But something happened. They won at Tampa Bay. Then played Boston. And I was like, oh, this is the best team in the league. Actually, they're second in the East, so yeah. But still, I was like, oh, this is not good. But I was like, you know, maybe they won't go as hard, or maybe, you know, they won't have that sense of urgency since they already clinched their playoff spot. And I was right, or maybe not. Like, the Caps won 2-0. They killed it. Apparently, our goalkeeper matches up well with Boston. Perfect time for that. I love it. Took care of business at home. So now we're in this three-way tie, like I said last show. Then this three-way tie with Pittsburgh. No, Pittsburgh's a point behind us. Ha ha. We're in this three-way tie with Detroit, Philly. Yeah. Us, Detroit, Philly. All have 87 points. The Islanders just clinched the third spot in the Metropolitan. The Lightning already clinched a wild card spot. Wild card spot that the Capitals could easily clinch if they didn't lose 7 of 9. And then the scenario that I thought was possible and could happen happened. In Philly, both teams had the same amount of points. Whoever wins is probably going to the playoffs. Whoever loses is for sure out. And the Caps, they showed up. The Caps in the clutch. The Caps were no cap. It was a tight game, pretty much a defensive battle, 1-1. See, that's what you want in a game to go to the playoffs. And pretty much an elimination game, you want something like that. And then for whatever reason, 3-4 minutes ago, the Flyers pulled their goalie. I was like, oh, it's kind of early for that in a tie game. Oh, they trying to be aggressive. It backfired. Oshie scored. An empty netter. And the Caps held off. There were some close calls after that, but they held off, and they're going to the playoffs. They're playing against the Rangers. The hockey community isn't giving us a chance. Even on ESPN, they posted a graphic that said the Caps were one of the worst teams to make the playoffs in some time. They had a negative 17 goal differential. Damn! Unreal. But they made it, and I'm happy. It's against the Rangers. No one's giving us a chance. Got to start the series at the Garden. I mean, come on. I've seen the Caps win there. Not in person, but we played them before in the playoffs. Like, we got our stuff off. Remember that time that the Caps almost beat them in 5 and then they just let them come back and then they end up winning in 7? Yeah, I hated that. But this time, hopefully the Caps can shock the world. I know the Caps have been mid. I know they barely made the playoffs. But maybe they can find something deep inside them and they can shock the world and beat the Rangers. It would make me happy and it would avenge what happened in, what was that, 2013, 2014? Gotta happen. Gotta make it happen somehow. And if they play a game at the Garden on April 29th, I'd love to see it. I would love to see it. Hopefully, I'd be in the building. But looking at ticket prices, they cost about as much as the Knicks game. Maybe slightly less, but it's about the same. Like, it's more expensive than them on the road. Because in Capital One Arena, tickets are going for a minimum of $92. That's not bad. I might end up being at one of these playoff games. We'll see. Stay tuned. If I end up at Game 3 or Game 4, don't be surprised. We'll see. I would love to go. But, you know, if we're just going to go down 3-0 or get swept, well, what's the point? But I think they're going to fight. But at the end of the day, this is going to be tough. This is like playing Florida all over again. But with the Florida series, went up 2-1. But also, I've seen teams get upset in the first round. I've seen President Cup trophy winners get upset in the first round. The Caps were one of them. I saw the Lightning get swept by Columbus. Like, bro, the upsets in hockey, they happen all the time. And why can't this be one? Maybe the Caps will catch fire and they'll beat the Rangers and they'll have an improbable run. I would love that. That'd be great. We'll see. I would love for that to happen. But, you know, I don't know. Because they've been mid all season and almost played their way out of the playoffs. So, it's going to be tough. But I'm hoping for the best. The Masters, Scottie Scheffler won again. I played a bunch of DFS. I had Scheffler in some lineups, but not all because, you know, all the experts and the betting odds, everything said Scheffler was clearly the best golfer, was clearly going to win this tournament, and he did. He did. It was getting a little dicey. Oberg was trying to catch up, and Max Homa was playing really well. Bryson DeChambeau came out firing, especially the first two rounds. But at the end of the day, Scottie Scheffler, just too much. He's trying to be like the next Tiger Woods. And I kind of noticed that 2 years ago. He just went major after major. He's him right now. And that's a fact. Now, in the RBC Heritage, see, I done gotten a golf daily fantasy rabbit hole now. So I'm playing every week. Right now, he shot like a minus two. Like, he's in like 20-something place. Like, he's five shots behind the lead. But in the Masters, he was him. And he didn't have the weird 3-4 putt that he had at the end of the Masters in 2022. So, congrats to him. Shoot. All the experts, especially DFS experts, were saying either Scheffler or Schauffele was going to win. They weren't sure about the LIV guys. They did decent, especially in the first two rounds. But after that, nah. But, you know, learning who Oberg is, I think he's from Sweden. I think he's going to be nice. Second in the Masters? Already? Not bad. Not bad at all. And he's also top 10 in the world. Official golf world rankings. Which is going to be important, especially when they get to the FedEx Cup playoffs. So, you know, the Masters, always a great tournament. Love the green jacket. Love the course. Love doing some sort of betting on it. It's fun. In DFS, I won $35, but I mean, I wish I won more. But it's hard, man. You got thousands and thousands of people trying to get that. Well, I kind of procrastinated and didn't have a millionaire lineup. So I was battling for 50K, 20K, stuff like that. But I just couldn't do it. I couldn't win. It was too hard. But it's okay. I had fun. And that was the most important part. But congrats to Scottie Scheffler. He's on a roll. He won the first major this year. I think it was the Players. He won that too. So he cooking. What's the next one? The PGA Championship? Like, boy. I'm telling you, watch out for him in that one too. So. Okay, the WNBA draft. This WNBA draft was hype. We knew it would be hype since last year, when Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese looked like they were going to come out, and then they made it official. And it's just all eyes were on it. A bunch of people were watching it, and then some conversations came out about it, like the WNBA pay gap and stuff, even though if you really watch the WNBA, people have been talking about this for years and years, and now it has blown up. Because of the increased attention on the sport. Because of, it's the Caitlin Clark effect. Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese simultaneously brought more eyes on the sport. More people care about it. They even got my mom watching it. Well, Dawn Staley kind of did that. She plays a role in the growth of women's college basketball too. But yeah, man, I watched the draft. Caitlin Clark going number one was obvious. Cameron Brink, the supermodel, Cameron Brink, went number two. Shocker. Not shocking at all. We knew they was going to go 1-2 all along. All the mocks have been saying that for months and months now. It's just at number three. I saw, did I see Angel Reese at number three? No. I don't think she ever went. I think Angel Reese went as high as 4 in the mock drafts. But I knew she wasn't going to go 4. I was like, it's either going to be Rekia Jackson or Camila Cardoso. So the Sky took Camila Cardoso. Big girl from South Carolina, Brazilian. 6'7". That's a big girl. I say that every time I watch her play. So she's on Chicago. And then the Sparks, I knew they was going to get Rekia Jackson. I was like, do they really want Cameron Brink? And I mean, Cameron Brink and another big? I was like, you got to get Rekia, because other than that, as far as bigs, you'd be reaching for Angel Reese, unless you want Aaliyah Edwards. If they would have got Aaliyah Edwards, Rekia Jackson would have ended up in Dallas or Washington, but it didn't happen. J.C. Sheldon ended up with Dallas. And then we ended up with Aaliyah Edwards. I saw a bunch of mocks saying J.C. Sheldon, Aaliyah Edwards, the Nadu girl from France, I believe. I only saw like one mock that said Angel Reese. I wanted Angel Reese. A lot of us did. Even my cousin asked me about the draft. He said, man, why didn't we get Angel Reese? I know people wanted her for the marketing. And someone said on Twitter, the vibes. Yeah, she definitely would have been hyped in D.C. Like, D.C. would have went crazy. We would have went crazy in the city over getting Angel Reese, especially since she's from Baltimore. We would have went crazy. And then she would have joined Shakira Austin, who's also from this area. Well, Shakira Austin is definitely from, at minimum, Montgomery County. But she went to St. John's, I believe. I think. She's definitely from the DMV. You know, Angel Reese from Baltimore, I would have loved them two together. But I knew it was going to be a tough fit for Angel Reese to be on this team. Something I overlooked. Deladon is taking a year off. So that leaves a hole on our team, especially in offense. It leaves a hole, a stretch four hole. Because remember, Deladon is a stretch four. Like, she shoot threes, she can drive, she can post up. She can do all that. She can space the floor. I didn't think the Mystics were looking for someone to immediately replace her. And I'm like, if they want to immediately replace her, the same similar type of player, I can see why they would go with Aaliyah Edwards, especially when I was listening to Rebecca Lobo and the other woman that's a huge star right now. They said they need to stretch forward, and that's what Aaliyah Edwards can be. I was like, all right. Aaliyah Edwards, what, the second best player on UConn? Arguably? Like, she's had her moments. But I was like, I want Angel Reese. I guess I was caught up in the star power. But you think about it, Angel Reese is a classic four. She rebounds, plays defense. She's working on her shot, but I don't think she shoots as well as Aaliyah Edwards. And that's probably the difference. Like, we're going to get an undersized four. Like, we got to get someone that shoots better and drives a little bit better. But I wanted Angel Reese, though. That would have been so cool. Mystics games would have been so lit with Angel Reese on our team. But she's going to Chicago. Sick. It is what it is. I think Aaliyah Edwards is going to be good. She's a UConn product. Gino Auriemma is arguably the GOAT. So almost anybody that comes out of that program is going to be like that. I'm glad Nakia Mule didn't go to the Liberty. She went to the Storm, which is ironic because that's where Sue Bird went, and she wore number 10. I don't know if she's going to be as good as Sue Bird, especially in the early days when Seattle has Jewel Lloyd and Skylar Diggins-Smith. Like, she just you just got to come off the bench, play really hard, and go about your business. Because there's no way you're taking a ball out of their hands. And they got Nneka Ogumike? Man, better get in where you fit in. That's a fact. What else? So Elisa Peely went to Minnesota. That's kind of a steal. Let's see what happens with that. Angel Jackson come from... I hope she makes the team. The Mystics drafted her. She would have been cool to have her with the Mystics, but they traded her to the Aces. I hope she makes the Aces because she went to Jackson State. So the HBCU crowd is loving that. I would love for her to make it. I hope she does. That's a tough team to make because they got so many veterans. And then on top of that, they drafted Deja Fair and Kate Martin and Elizabeth Kitley. Bruh, the competition is fierce, bruh. It's looking like, man, come on, man. It's like the NBA Finals every day in practice. Boy, it's going to be rough. I don't know how you're going to make that team. I'm going to keep it real with you. But it would be dope if she did, especially coming from Jackson State. I think she's like the second HBCU player to get drafted. That is so cool. I hope she makes it, but that's a really tough team to make. And it's interesting that the Aces traded for her. What else happened? I mean, it was just a cool drive. It was great to see these women in all these outfits. It was great to see all the support live and on the internet. It was cool, man, and the Caitlin Clark mania is unreal. They moved the Fever and Mystics game to Capital One. That is a no-brainer. They should have did that the moment Caitlin Clark declared for the draft. Ironically, the last Fever and Mystics game was at Capital One. I was there. I'm pretty sure I talked about it in one of my episodes. But this one is going to be different. Like, it was a pretty good crowd because it was camp day. It was a bunch of screaming kids. Yeah, it was a pretty decent crowd for 11 o'clock on like a Wednesday. It was some random weekday in the summer. Now it's going to be a June 7th. I don't know. What is that? What is that, Saturday? I think it's a Friday. It's going to be on at Capital One Arena. 20,000 seats. It's like 10 times bigger than ESA. In Congress Heights. I think it's going to sell out. This is going to be lit. Caitlin Clark mania is taking over. And you got the WNBA dealing with attention and conversations they haven't had to deal with in a while. This is going to be fun. I hope the Mystics win that game. On paper, we're probably underdogs. But I don't really care. Like, can't let them come into our house and win. Like they did last year without Caitlin Clark. That was the funniest part about it. We lost that game to Fever last year at Capital One. And they didn't even have Caitlin Clark. But to be fair, we didn't have Deladon. We didn't have Shakir Austin. So, yeah, we missed some people too. But, you know... I can't wait. I hope I can go. Because at ESA, the prices were $200, $300. I'm pretty sure that's not going to change now that they moved to the Capital One Arena. It's probably going to be the same price. It's going to be unreal. It's the Caitlin tax. It just is what it is. The WNBA draft was fun. I don't think it's going to be as lit next year. But it's definitely going to have attention. Because next year, that's the Paige Beckers, Anisha Morrow draft. And I hope the Mystics get Paige Beckers. You know, did they address their guard need? I mean, we could run it with Brittany Sykes. And who else we got? Walker Kimbrough? Like, we can run it with them. It's fine. But, yeah, we're going to need that Natasha Cloud replacement. And I hope Paige Beckers is not only that replacement, but ends up being a huge star. Because it's a wrap. If we get Paige Beckers, it's wishful thinking, but Paige Beckers and Deladon, at least for 1 year, come on now. Who knows what type of team we could build around Paige Beckers? Or if Haley Van Lith develops properly at TCU, she's going to TCU. Where did that come from? She's going to TCU. So if she develops correctly at TCU, he could get her on the Mystics. I think the Mystics are going to be drafting pretty high. I don't know if Haley Van Lith's going to be there, but I'd be cool with it if we did get her at the right place. But I'd rather have Paige Beckers. I'm going to keep it real with you. That's next year's stuff. This year's draft was pretty good. And I watched the entire thing. I thought I was going to cut it off after the first round. I couldn't stay away. The Aces made some really good second and third round picks. Especially the Elizabeth Kitley one. She was going to be a first rounder before she tore ACL. That is a steal. Like, guys, the rich are not supposed to get richer in this draft. What are you doing? Elizabeth Kitley on the Aces, as soon as she get better. Her and Asia Wilson? Bruh. It's over. It's a wrap. They might win 3 or 4 more titles. But we'll see. I mean, the Liberty looking strong. I think this is their year. Everyone done came back. And Sabrina Ionescu, if she jumped from shooting 30% from three, 33% to 44%, I can't imagine what she's going to do this year. There's no talent. I know this. All these teams are probably going to be better than the Mystics, and I'm kind of sick. But it is what it is. Okay. The NFL draft is coming up. And I'm like, I don't know why I'm not as hyped this year for it. The Eagles are picking late in the first round. I have no idea who they're going to pick. They need to go defense, but I don't know what they're going to do. I really don't. Like, this is really crazy. They should go defense, but I saw one mock draft pick a project at tackle. I think he played for Georgia. Like, one of these D1 teams. I don't know, man. I know we need O-line depth. I know Lane Johnson ain't gonna be there forever. And the guards are not established. And Jason Kelsey just left. Yeah. I don't know if I want to spend a first rounder on an offensive lineman. Especially that late in the first round. Get a defensive player. Defense was below average, and it was 31st in pass defense.
It's a complete crap.
Come on now. Don't overthink this. Don't make this difficult. Pick defense. Pick a defensive player. Need depth. Unless someone in the top 10 slid that far down, and you got to take them, just take a defensive player. Just stop playing around. Need all the help we can get on that side of the ball with our dynamic offense. A little help won't hurt a bit. But, you know, we'll see what they can do. The Commanders probably going to take Jaden Daniels. All the stuff I've heard so far, it just looks like they like Jaden Daniels a little bit more, which hopefully he turns out better than all the other number two picks they've had, like RG3, Chase Young, Chris Samuels, the tackle. Like, all these guys were good, but they just sparked, they popped like fireworks. You know, they pop, they spark, and then they disappear. Then they off to another team. Just like that. But I think with Chase Young and RG3, obviously injuries played a role. But yeah, man, it's just sad how they went out. And now Jaden Daniels is going to be that next number two pick. It's going to be expectations, or maybe not, because, you know, the team trash, and you know that. But we'll see what he can do in this Cliff Kingsbury offense, because he is a pretty good offensive mind. But I don't know about their offensive line protecting Jaden Daniels. Yeah, you already know. It's no reason to take the Washington sitcom seriously until we have to. I'm just saying. But NFL draft, I said I was going to go. Obviously, that's not happening because it's in Detroit. But I think the draft is next weekend, I believe. It might be the weekend after. But it's coming up. And, boy, it's going to be dope. But I'm just not as hyped for it. I guess when it happens, you know, I might get up for it. But for now, I mean, it is what it is. Okay. Jontay Porter. So he's banned from the NBA. I said that was the worst case scenario. The worst case scenario has happened. I don't know what I said word for word, but I was like, worst case scenario is he's point shaving, he bet on basketball, and you got to ban him forever. You got to ban him for life. I didn't want to see this brother get banned for life. He's a young player. He was getting playing time with all the injuries on the Raptors. He's getting playing time, and he wasn't playing that bad. So I wanted to see where he could go from there. And now we won't get to see it. He made a dumb decision. Like, I don't know. Like, what, he bet his own unders? He took himself out of games just so his point total would be under? Why? Did he do it to make a little extra money? Did he do it to make bookies happy? Like, what? Why? Like, it just don't make sense to me, man. Especially all the money he's losing out on. Just why? How do you get caught up in that? Did he think he wasn't going to get caught? It's just, oh, man. Messing with the integrity of the game like that, it's just awful and unnecessary. But he's out now, you know. I don't know if he's going to get to play overseas. There's no way they're betting on overseas leagues like that over there. There's no way. In Europe, Lithuania, China, there's no way. You know, wow. Tough lesson to learn. I kind of hope he gets picked up overseas. But NBA is done. Shame you had to go out like that, but gotta make an example. Can't bet on basketball while playing basketball. Come on. What is you doing? Oh, man. This guy, Michael Porter's little brother. It's a shame. Not a good look for Michael Porter Jr. either, even though he might have had nothing to do with it. Okay, well, I guess I can sign up with my Thursday kickball league team now. They got me in. Cool. But yeah. Yeah. John Say Porter, he tripping, and now he's out of the NBA for good. Wow. I pray for his mental health, and I hope he gets picked up overseas, because he should be still playing. He got some years left. He's only like 22, 23 years old. Something like that. Like, he's young. Definitely younger than me. Anyway. Okay, last thing. I was going to say something about women's basketball. Oh, the whole Asia Wilson. It's not the last thing. But Asia Wilson not having a Nike deal. She has some deal, right? She has shoe out, right? Well, whatever just happened with that, like, she'll be fine. She'll get a deal somewhere. But there's a big debate going on because Caitlin Clark got a deal from Nike. And Asia Wilson doesn't have that type of deal, even though she won two titles, two finals MVPs, two MVPs. She won a title in college. She got a lot of accolades. She'll be fine. I think, honestly, this whole thing with Caitlin Clark and the her getting snubbed, apparently, I mean, this whole debate and what seems like a slight of Asia Wilson, it just puts fuel on the fire. It's just going to push Asia Wilson and the Aces to want a three-peat and dominate the league again. You know, I love it. You know, it's just going to make her go even harder. And she might win a third MVP. I mean, she got a statue for a reason. And she's going to be a Hall of Famer. So, you know, why poke the bear? Why poke the bear? But, yeah, it's going to be a lot of conversations like that. The fan base is going to be divided. It is what it is. Comes with the territory. But more attention on women's basketball, as it should be. I've been watching it since 2002. I don't know where y'all been. But welcome. And it's going to be lit. I'm telling you, these women can play. Just saying. Oh, Sailor Poffenbarger. The last thing for real. Sailor Poffenbarger. So I covered her on, I think she was one of the first. She was the first person I covered. Her and Gary Clark on the College Basketball Reference Spotlight. And, you know, I saw that she played for Arkansas. I think it was her first season at Arkansas. She did pretty well. Decent. I was like, she's a big guard. She can shoot. She can post people up. I liked her game. And then she came back the next year and had 11 and 10. 11 points, 10 rebounds. It's pretty good. In the SEC, pretty good. Arkansas didn't do much. I don't think they were in the tournament. But she did decent. No, wait. That wasn't her freshman year. But she improved to 11 and 10 her sophomore year. Okay. So, great. 11 and 10 her sophomore year, officially, I guess. I think she gets two extra years. So, she had the year at UConn. Then she had to sit out. Then she played as a redshirt freshman or whatever at Arkansas. And then sophomore at Arkansas. Now she's in the portal. Ole Miss, one of the teams. She's from the Frederick area. I'm like, she could come back home, go to Maryland, even though the University of Maryland's like an hour away from where she is. But still, it's kind of home, you know. I don't know what she's going to do, but clearly she's turning the corner, just like Anna Miller. She got better. And, you know, I want to see what she could do. I don't know how she ended up in the transfer portal. Another one of their best players in the transfer portal too. I don't know what's going on over there. Just a lot of moving pieces in women's college basketball. I guess she's one of the top like transfer portal players. I still want to see where Deja Kelly goes. Haley Van Lift going to TCU was big. I want to see where Reagan Bears goes. That's another. She averaged 17 and 10. I want to see where the rest of, like, the whole Oregon State starting five is transferring. Like I said last show, I want to see where all of them end up. But, you know, Sailor Poffenbarger, maybe I was going to say she go back to UConn. Man, no. Almost half teams coming back. Most of the teams coming back. And they just added the number one player in the country. I don't think she's going back to UConn. She barely played at UConn. Well, we'll see. It could be an SEC team, or she can come back home. I would love to see her at Virginia Tech with the Elizabeth Kitley lookalike. I swear I forgot that girl's name. That's the only reason why I said that. Yeah, I want to see what she does. Very interested. I loved her story when I was covering it. But, man, another one bites the dust with the transfer portal. But at least she's improving. And there's no telling what she can do, especially as a 6'3 guard that can post up smaller guards. Man, that's something now. And could have a future in the WNBA. We'll see. She improved her three-point shooting, which is great. And she keep improving that. She definitely going to be in the WNBA. But we'll see. Hey, GoatLevelTees.com for all things Goat Level. You already know. I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Goat Level Podcast. Make sure you share, subscribe, and get money.